Hello and welcome. This is Self Control. My name is Patrick Strevens. Today we are talking about binary entrapment. What the hell is binary entrapment? Let's put it this way. You're dealing with bad habits. You're dealing with addiction. It's taking a toll on your life. While on the other hand, you say, I'm going to quit. I'm going to be different. I'm going to change tomorrow. Perhaps there's guilt, there's shame, there's fear related to the addiction, related to the reason that you are partaking in these bad habits or this self-sabotaging behavior. I want to let you know that binary entrapment is something I began to understand. It is, quite frankly, a way that we put a value judgment on the way we're living. We place a value judgment on the way we are living, and we do it in a way in which we choose to lose. It is through our thoughts. It is through our thoughts that we sabotage. So if you're looking to begin to get a handle on some bad habits, you'd like to maybe be a bit more present in the moment, you'd like to get your life on track like I still do, there's ways to do it, right? You've, in many cases, you and me, we've thought ourselves into these bad habits. We've thought ourselves into this self-sabotage. We make these choices to think a certain way and we live them out. So we can, over time, begin to think our way toward the life that we deserve. Let's talk today about how time has a huge influence on binary entrapment. Let's go forward with some constructive solutions that anybody can begin today to start to work their way out of this way of thinking, to begin to see bigger possibilities, to become not different, not improved, but to become more of ourselves, to develop past these bad habits, to become someone who can inspire others. It all starts in the mind. The tools that you need are quite likely already with you. So in our last episode, we set up this idea of binary entrapment. Quite simply, it is when we place a value judgment on where we are now and a value judgment on where we need to go or who we need to become. Now, there's nothing wrong with setting goals, of course, and I should say, there's nothing wrong with anything you do in my eyes. I cannot judge you from afar. Don't take any of this personally. This is me sharing the processes that go on in my mind. Using a podcast is to use a style of rhetoric that it may sound like I'm talking to you, instructing you. I'm simply opening my heart, my mind to the world. Do with it as you wish. So binary entrapment then is when we trap ourselves in a binary of saying, who I am now is wrong. Who I am now is bad. Who I am now needs to be different. And in the future is where things will be good. In the future is who I need to be. Now let's think about that in terms of addiction. And I should say, if you're dealing with serious addiction, I don't know that this system, these thoughts alone could be of total help to you. Now they could be a tool in your toolkit, but I'm talking about some softer addictions, some sort of functioning addictions, right? For me, as you know, overeating and mindless eating is one that I'm just kind of getting over. In the past, I had issues with marijuana, with pornography. You know, for many people, it's alcohol. Many people addicted to their phones, nicotine. If you are living with bad habits that haven't totally driven you away from living, but are taking a toll on your life, this is what we're talking about. Things that I believe that I have done that other people can do to free themselves from these addictions that are hindering your quality of life, okay? I don't pretend to come on here and say that this is going to get you off of a 40-year alcohol addiction, off of opiates, off of whatever other crippling things that many people are facing. Addiction is a great way to look at binary entrapment, a great way to look at this value judgment, because we trap ourselves right there when we say, look, I need to stop this addiction. In the future, I'm going to quit. In the future, I'm going to do less, right? Like for me, over the years, there was many times when I was using marijuana and then I would turn around and say, all right, that's the last one. I'll stop. Oh, I got to take some time off, you know. Parents are disappointed in me again. I'm becoming too introverted. I'm becoming too paranoid. I'm spending too much money, whatever. All of those good reasons to consider quitting, but they alone cannot be reasons to quit. What we're doing right there is outsourcing our control by saying, in the future, I will quit. You have no control over the future. Let's be frank about that. So Here now, we're beginning to trap ourselves in what I would call a temporal hell. And temporal has to do with time. We're saying, in the future, I will. And the nature of addiction and the nature of bad habits, as we know, we're self-medicating, right? We're self-soothing. And so we're distracting ourselves from the present. We're distracting ourselves from the past, perhaps, right? There's things that you're ashamed of in your past, things that you're guilty about in your past. You're having trouble going forward in life because it's easier just to keep smoking marijuana, keep drinking, keep overeating, just keep scrolling the phone, right? We all get trapped in these habits. They trick us into feeling good. And a lot of the time they begin as self-medication. So perhaps I can further this better with a bit of a story. I work in live event production. I work as a cameraman in a live sports and entertainment capacity. What that requires is a lot of running around with a camera, which weighs 50, 60 pounds, a lot of communicating with people, a lot of being screamed at by drunken sports fans, a lot of communicating with stressed out producers, listening to my director, making sure I know what he wants, what he needs. And above all, getting the shot, right? Getting in position, being in focus, being ready to capture that moment, being ahead of the curve. Now, all of this is deeply, deeply meaningful to me. It's also deeply stressful. Adrenaline, cortisol, the other hormones that go along with being around thousands and thousands of people, some of them beautiful women. What I can tell you is that I love the job very much, but I'm coming to terms with the fact that I'm getting older, for one thing, but coming to terms with just what kind of a toll this job takes on my body. Working in a stressful situation into the evening, then coming home and crashing into bed. Sometimes that next morning is a little grim. So follow me now. Are there mornings for you where you wake up and things are a little grim? Maybe it's self-induced. Maybe it's just a product of your lifestyle. It's not uncommon for us to self-medicate that pain, that tiredness, that unrecoveredness with our drug of choice. And so I noticed in myself after some of these nights that I would turn to the things that I turned to over the years to make myself feel better. Overeating was a big one. Eating crap, overusing caffeine, overusing nicotine, laziness, right? Knowing full well that a good long walk and some yoga would begin to set me right. Knowing that if I didn't have to work all day long, I should take a break. I should fully recover from the night before. And still, I turned to those things that made me feel better in the moment. These things, frankly, are distractions, right? You know that. Whatever it is that is kind of your vice, your crutch, your bad habit, they distract us from the present. We're saying, there is pain in my body. There is guilt, perhaps, of things done wrong the night before. There's shame about things maybe you've done. It's not uncommon to go through our day using things to feel better, right? Whether that's a behavior or a substance. But let's be quite clear, that distracts us from our present. And quite often, those things that we turn to, those vices, came into our life as a way to distract us from our past. We could be trying to self-medicate trauma, self-medicate a wounded ego. That's why marijuana came into my life and stuck for so long. And in that morning haze, and as that day went on and I was becoming more and more aware that I was not in great shape, that I was not fully practicing self-control, nor was I able or interested in practicing self-control, we realize then that we fall into that guilt and say, well, tomorrow's different. Right now I'm a bad guy. Tomorrow I'll be the good guy. Right there, we've begun to trap ourselves in the binary, okay? Right there, we have said, who I am now is bad, where I am now is wrong, and tomorrow I'll be different. Let's say you have a cocaine addiction, right? It's probably not uncommon to enjoy the hell out of it in the moment, enjoy the rush of going to pick it up, come home with it, but then say, well, I'm a bad guy. I'm a bad guy, I gotta stop. People tell me to stop. I can't be productive without it. That tendency to say, I will change, I will be better, I will quit this addiction tomorrow, you have now trapped yourself fully in a temporal hell, in a time-based hell. You're using addiction to run from your present, run from your pain, run from your past. And you are also now, in a sense, running towards a future that doesn't serve you. You're running towards a future that you have created as a distraction, and yet the problem remains unsolved. The reasons for your behavior remain unclear. We are not looking. We are not seeing ourselves. And let me ask you this. You're so certain that you're in the wrong place now. You're the bad guy now, right? I'm a cokehead. Life's falling apart. Oh my God, I lost custody of the kids, so I'm going to start drinking. Ah, she left me. Might as well fire up a joint and say, F it. I don't give a shit. I'm fat. I'm going to keep eating. That's the person who is conceptualizing a future for you. You're so certain that you're rotten and wrong and stupid and need to change, and you think that the conceptualization you have now of who you need to be and where you need to go is right? I'm not so sure about that. Just like old pothead Patrick back in the day, stoned out of his mind all the time, saying, well, I need to quit. Well, it's like, no shit. But do you have any idea why the marijuana is so important in your life? What gaps does it fill? How did it start? What would it actually look like to stop and stay off it? Of course not. You're just living in the binary hell. You're living on the hamster wheel. Don't want to think about all the whys. I just know that I'm distracting myself with the belief that I'm on my way back up to heaven. Well, what I'd like to put to you now is this idea that if you're looking at it that way, heaven comes to us only in the moment. And so when it came to those bad habits for me that I was partaking in the other morning, I know that I've grown. I know that I've further developed myself because I was able to have a successful day in the face of that. I got all the work done that I wanted to do, and I got back in bed that night at a good hour. I persevered, right? I was uncertain about the quality of the work I was doing, right? I was working on this podcast. I was doing some video editing for some clients. Still going totally overboard with food, still being kind of a cranky grump. Now, I stayed off coffee, which probably helped me, but a lot of decaf coffee with a lot of cream and sugar, right? Self-medicating with those things that feel good. But I've grown enough to know that I was able to observe, and this is where I would like to take you. This is where, if you're maybe like I was 5, 10 years ago, this is the place that we can go together to a place of observation and not crucifixion, not beating ourselves up, right? We can say very well that these habits we undertake, laziness, addiction, promiscuity, procrastination, poor hygiene, not exercising, staying in a relationship that doesn't work, staying at a job that doesn't serve you, that is a form of self-abuse. But to crucify yourself, to beat yourself up, to talk to yourself in a way that says, yeah, I'm wrong, and I'm gonna be wrong, and I've been wrong. That's self-abuse, and that is distraction from the matter at hand. If you have such an acute awareness, as I did, of all these things that are wrong, doesn't it stand then that it's your responsibility to observe these things as to why they have come to be this way? And none of this comes from a place of judgment or from above. All of this is to say that at no point in time, when this is at its worst, have we accepted where and who we are. Right? You say things were bad when you were a kid. And I don't mean to make light of any of this. Daddy hit you. Mommy ran away. You got beat up at school every day. Or worse, right? This is not to make light of any of this. Me, you know, I had my issues. Bodily trauma, surgery. A lot of uncertainty and guilt surrounding my body. We all have our reasons. But what the first step would be is that acceptance of your state, of your being now in the present, acceptance of the present, that binary entrapment. At no point have we accepted who we are. Addiction, bad habits, procrastination, self-loathing, self-abuse, and frantically saying, I'm going to change tomorrow, I'm going to change next year, I'm going to change next week. At no point has any acceptance of what is actually true happened. The past, the future are not materially real. We have no control over them. You have control of yourself in the moment. And this binary entrapment, this hell, is a rejection of that. It's not looking at who we are. It's not seeing the matter at hand. It's not seeing ourself. Okay, so now you're asking, well, what the hell am I going to do about it? What the hell am I going to do about it? Let me tell you this right now. My bad habits, my addiction, my procrastination, my poor health, both physically and mentally, none of that became manageable. None of that became solvable until I was almost 30 years old and started this one thing. And we're going to talk about that one thing in our next episode. I want to give you a chance to digest this, right? Think about these steps as we've understood them. We place a value judgment on how we are living. We start to make our addiction and our unproductive habits part of this hamster wheel of blindness where we only see some future we are imagining, some past that we're running from, all the while ignoring the moment, creating this temporal hell, distracting ourselves, conceptualizing a future from a place of weakness, from a place of desire. I want you to take a moment, take a few days, if this is resonating with you, to think about what it might look like to go to a place of observing as to why we are behaving this way, to stop the self-abuse and the crucifixion of beating up on ourselves and saying, I need to change, I need to be different, and simply go to a place of observation. And that is that next step. That is the thing we will talk about in the next episode. It is essentially a three-part process, but it all has to do with mastering our time, looking at the past, the present, and the future in the necessary ways. So in the meantime, take a moment to think about these steps. Feel free to get in touch if you'd like more information, and watch out, make sure you're subscribed, because the next episode is going to take this process and move us towards constructive solutions on getting out of this hamster wheel, out of this hell, and towards the life that we all deserve. So thank you for listening. I look forward to speaking with you in a few more days.